James Brown?
What's it? What?
Oh. Sorry.
What?
Whips and
chains.
Whips and
chains. What? I mean, no shame. Just don't worry. Just act the fool. Is that all right? Girl, that's all right. They be like, ooh, let them eat cake.
But we eat wangs and throw them bones on the ground. Oh, Dion makes this look so easy. I'm so serious. I'm just like, wait, I'm so silly. Sorry. Okay. Well, I'll just start then. I'll just jump right in. Hi. Welcome to the Sipping Hour presents Girl What You Watchin'. Hey. And I'm here with two other girls, I being Aisha, and I'll let the two other girls starting to my right introduce themselves. Huh. And hey, why don't you let us know what you're sipping as well?
And yes. Which child from Blackish you are.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm BB, and I am sipping on just the greatness of Black people and being in Black spaces this week. And I want to say that I'm Diana, but she's more of a badass than me, so I feel like I'm probably not allowed to claim her. I don't know who else it would be. She's what a badass little girl. Yeah. Okay, she's just got it together in
so
more
much.
Ways than I ever will, and I'm twice. Thrice, maybe not thrice her age, but you know.
It was always good to have goals.
Right, yes. Right. Diana is goals. So they're like, I'm not Diana, but Diana is goals. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes, because I'm next to you as well. I am Kenya. I am sipping on the autobiography of Malcolm X. I started reading it.
Work.
Wow.
We read too. Okay.
We read here at Girl What You Watching. Yeah, I found it in a bookstore on my vacation when I went to Louisville like a month ago. And I was like, I've wanted to read this for a while because I watched the movie in high school. And it's a really, I mean, of course, it's a really good book. Like, that goes without saying. But just kind of the swiftness and conversationalist of it was a fun thing that I wasn't expecting and going in. So yeah, it's been an and it's also like it sounds dated just in the way that we now talk about like these issues. And that's been an interesting thing to kind of like go back and forth with and reconcile and stuff. So yeah, it's I'm literally in chapter 3, so like hardly in it at all. But if the child on Blackish that I feel like I am is Junior, for better or for worse.
Love it.
Okay. Do you want to explain why you're Junior?
Sure. Yeah. Huge nerd right here. Generally the, I don't want to say butt of the family joke, but like my proclivities towards books and TV shows and cartoons generally lead to some Kenya, what's going on? faces from my folks. yes, but still, you know, still claiming it. Still being like, yes,
yeah,
stand
going
in it.
Going to the midnight premiere of Deathly Hallows. We're doing it.
Aww. So cute, guys in your Harry Potter. That was a Harry Potter reference, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You are with it.
See, I never know. I never know. okay. And again, I'm Aisha. I am sipping on elections coming up and early voting. And by the time we record and or finish recording, rather, and edit this, we will either be like, I guess, riding a blue wave or drowning under a red one.
Oh, God.
At the risk of being like morbid or, you know, optimistic. So it'll be either one or the other. And, you know, like, good luck, Stacey Abrams.
Hey, yes.
Good luck to, I think, Andrew Gillum in Florida.
Yes.
So, yeah, fingers crossed for both of that. And if I had to be a child from Blackish or the child I am from Blackish, I think it's like, I feel like I look like Zoe in that I like to dress well and stuff, but inside I'm Junior.
What a combination.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not diabolical enough to be Diane. I think my sister is Diane. But I definitely feel like it's like, yeah, if you see me, then, oh, okay. Like, that girl looks put together. And, you know, I'm the oldest and stuff. But then when I start talking to you, you're like, oh, wow. Like weird things. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Wow. Dion's not here this week. Neither Sharae. So we don't have, like, our leader or our Sharae. So, so yeah, so just kind of, like, bear with us. But
raise a glass to them.
Yeah.
Yes, raise a glass.
Yeah, we miss you.
Maybe don't pour one out, but.
No.
Right.
No, not in here.
Well, why don't we move on to, what are we calling it now? What happened was? In these streets.
Right. What's going on in the world? Current events.
What isn't? Gosh.
It has been a rough couple weeks.
Yeah.
With bombs being set and churches being on fire and synagogues being shot up. There's actually a lot in that type of current events. But were we going to focus it on TV current events? Was that right?
Yeah,
I feel like there was something in the doc.
I can say, like, in relation to all the stuff that's been going on, to connect it back into what we're watching. I have been thinking about restarting The West Wing, but I feel like it is me wanting to retreat back to a simpler time. And even like I think like when The West Wing was on, it was a Republican Congress and maybe a Democratic White House. So it wasn't necessarily like, oh, everything was like liberal and stuff like that. Like there was still some contention and everything. Obviously not like what we're experiencing now, because I don't think you would have the wherewithal to create a show like The West Wing now. Like, you wouldn't be that optimistic about government. You know? Like, you wouldn't think
that they're that capable.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. You wouldn't, your heart wouldn't be in the place to be like, I think, like, public servants are wonderful people and they're smart. And I was texting, actually, one of the writers on The Sipping Hour, Emily, and I was telling her that it's so funny because, like, West Wing makes, like, you know, all these actors, and I won't say their names, but like all these actors like seem as sexy as Rob Lowe. Mm. And it's just like, that's not true. Like, I mean, these are attractive people and stuff because they don't let ugly people on TV by any means. But to have like, because of the way that these people are written as like very smart and capable and confident, you think of them like, oh, wow, they're all like at the same level of sexy. And it's like, no. Mm. One person is Rob Lowe, and then there's everybody else. But that is the magic of West Wing.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so with everything that's been going on, you just want to kind of, I don't know, like withdraw into your own little cocoon of whatever you believe in. Like if you're a conservative person, and I don't know what conservatives watch, like Duck Dynasty or something. Maybe that's what you want to, like, I'm going to restart Duck Dynasty. But if you're, like, a progressive or a liberal person, it's like, oh, I kind of want to retreat into the Bartlett administration.
Oh, the Bartlett. Oh,
yeah, let Bartlett be Bartlett.
And Anna Deavere Smith is on that show.
She is.
Who is just a badass.
She's amazing.
Love her.
Retreat into some Anna Deavere Smith. Go watch The Fire next time.
Or Letters from the Field, which is about school to prison pipeline. And she does, you know, there's always one woman shows just a bunch of different characters and perspectives. Like, yes.
Yeah, also, I said The Fire next time, but I meant Twilight Los Angeles. The Fire next time is a James Baldwin book.
Oh, and she also does the other one, Fires in the Mirror.
There we go.
You just.
That's.
It's also good. I think I'm pretty sure I called Diana earlier, so it's okay. We're human.
You know where? Yeah, we make mistakes, then we Google them, and it's fine.
Yay, computers!
The knowledge was within us all along.
Right.
Yeah. Something fun that's not necessarily like current events in the sense of it's affecting all of us on a grand scale, but Halloween was just a couple of days ago.
Yes.
Halloween, which is a holiday that I don't exactly love, but I love watching people dress up, and there were some like really awesome, because social media has changed what Halloween means to
the world. Right.
because you can like put who you're supposed to be right next to you so people can be like, oh, that's exactly what. And then like, you know, there's also the downside of that where you're seeing all of the people in blackface. And like, did y'all see there was one nurse, I think she was a nurse. She was either a nurse or a teacher, mm-hmm. and she dressed up as Beyonce, and her boyfriend mm-hmm. was Jay-Z, but they were literally just blackface in, like, some bad wigs and a right. silver skirt. Mm. Like, how do you dress up as Beyonce but wear a black wig?
It was, like, that was wrong on so many levels, and I think one thing that people pointed out to just show, like, how racist, like, blackface is, mm. is that, I mean, Beyonce is what we in the community would call a red bone or a high yellow woman, but this mm-hmm. woman literally just covered herself yes. in what had to be like shoe polish or charcoal. So it's like, you're not trying to dress up as Beyonce
no.
or
no.
else you would like have more attention to detail, like a wig mm-hmm. or something. This is just you wanting to dress up as a black stereotype.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good point that people pointed out, because it's like, yeah, you're saying that it's Beyonce, but you don't, you haven't even like, I mean, mm-hmm. you could have just had your skin. Beyonce is probably closer to your skin tone,
real talk.
You know, then like whatever this is you're putting on to make you like look like the inside of a chimney. I mean, it was just like, cause, I mean, and it was just really like that, that. I felt like that was a really good point, and just like pointing out, like, no, this is not dressing up as Beyonce, quote unquote. This is just dressing up as like a stereotype of a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I saw a ton of beautiful white Beyoncés floating around on the internet doing it good. One was this like really cute, like plus size girl,
mm-hmm.
and she dressed up as like Beachella Beyoncé.
Oh.
She was on some bleachers. Like she was getting
That's
it.
Cute.
I was like, yes.
Yeah.
This is what you can do, and it's fine.
Right. It's so annoying to me that like, you can do. There's a way to do this correctly.
For sure.
But you just choose not to, and I just can't understand it.
Was like Why? That what is it, what's her face got like all but let go?
Oh,
NBC.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly.
Mm.
That's her
yeah,
name, right?
Yeah,
I never watched her show.
Yeah, she's one of it's that whole thing with today, like when they hired her and stuff, like, you
mm-hmm.
know, forget that Megyn Kelly was not good at that, and that, you know, she was definitely a racist before and a racist while she was on the show, but the fact that, to me, the thing will always be that led to Tamron Hall leaving, who was amazing,
mm.
and apparently her and Al Roker's Hour of Today, because that's what Megyn Kelly used to be on,
yeah.
Was, like, really highly rated, and people enjoyed it, but they're like, right. No, we want to get that, like, suburban white woman, Trump's in power, you know, like, a lot of people seem to be trying to go down that road, and then you end up with Megyn Kelly and Roseanne, and it's just like it
yeah.
blows up in your face.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like racists don't pay, and honestly, racists don't have money. Like, racists don't have ad dollars.
Like, that's why they're racist, because that gives them something to blame for the fact that they don't have
right.
money.
Yeah. It's like that racists aren't like buying products advertised, and you're like, you know, just go with diversity. Diversity is very lucrative. Everybody knows that. There's science behind it and everything. But anyway.
But some fun, not racist costumes.
Right.
One of my personal favorites was Niecy Nash dressed up as Jennifer Lewis.
Oh, my
God. That
sounds
amazing.
She wore, like, Nike, like, red carpet look. And, like, uh-huh. one of those get out and vote videos. And it was amazing.
Oh, I love that. No, see, the saddest part about Halloween costumes is when no one gets it.
Because
you have a costume and you're just like, all you want to do is be seen. And so when no one sees you, it's so sad. Like, I think, so my partner and I, we went as Miguel and Tulio from The Road to El Dorado.
Y'all are so cute.
Thank you. See, but Aisha looking at you, so confused. Like, what is that? Because it's a small, it was an animated film from, you know, like around like circa late 90s time period. That just wasn't, it wasn't like, I don't think it was Disney. I think it might have been
DreamWorks.
It was DreamWorks.
I love them.
Yeah. And there's a lot of like DreamWorks animated movies that are better than some Disney movies. Not all, okay? Disney fans, don't come at me. Jesus. But like The Swan Princess. Not
Shrek.
A Disney movie. Shrek, right? Or Anastasia.
Shrek is DreamWorks. DreamWorks puts out the hit. Right.
Yes. Right. Anastasia is not a Disney movie either. It is? Mm-hmm. Oh, just kidding. Redact, redact, redact.
Pause for ending.
But there's a lot of like lower key animated films that that Disney didn't make, so like not a lot of people know them, but they're like so good. So like The Road to El Dorado is like a great movie. These two guys basically try to find like the city, kind of like they're on a road to find this map, to find like a bunch of treasure, and then they like discover all these people. It's very like kind of like Atlantis, but like not underwater is like where they're looking for. And once they get there, the indigenous peoples like think that they're gods who are coming in, and so they know very well that they're not gods, but they're scammers. Like their whole thing is that they're these big time scammers. So it's just like, it's a funny, delightful movie that's just like silly, but no one got it, and so we're just like, well, we know we look good. It doesn't matter that no one knows who we are. Or a couple of friends of ours, they went as Eustace and Muriel from Courage the Cowardly Dog. And not a lot of people got that one either. That was the old show that was on Cartoon Network that was very, like, spooky related. You watch the show today, and it's, like, very disturbing.
It's so scary. Especially with Return the Slab.
Or Suffer the Curse. Yes! Oh, my gosh. It was such a weird show, but it's so good. But, like, not a lot of people got it, and they were very sad. Aww. And their costumes were, like, on point, like... You know,
a dog with them?
They had a pillow that looked like Courage.
Well, then everybody should have got, because if you don't get Eustace and Muriel, you'll get Courage.
Right. Like, well, and the woman who was Eustace, she had the scary mask that he pulls out in the intro. Yeah. So it was like, there were all these, like, if you had seen any of the show, you would, like, get it. But there are so many people, like, who just didn't know. So that's the sad part about Halloween, when you try to, like, have a costume. You're like, yes, I'm going to be seen. Everyone's going to know it. The girls are going to gag. And it was like, well, your reference was not pop culture enough. No one knows who you are. So they don't care as much.
They're like, oh, that's nice.
That's the adult Halloween disappointment. Because, you know, they do those videos where parents tell their kids that they ate all their candy last night. I think you could do that with adults, but be like, no one understood your costume. And be like, same disappointment. But why don't we jump into the next segment and talk about what we're watching? All right. So what are we watching?
Let's see. So the new season of Superstore started. Mm. And if you aren't watching Superstore, then, and I say this without hyperbole, you are wasting your life.
Oh, my God.
Because Superstore is probably, like, one of the better sitcoms to come about in the past few years. And it's, like, it's a proper sitcom in that, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it looks like, you know, Parks and Rec and stuff, and I think it's shot on film and there's no laugh track or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it is, you know, it's as much about jokes and, like, you know, a story that can be contained in a half hour. I mean, granted, there are, like, longer stories that can go over an entire season and from season to season, but it's still, like, within half an hour, a problem or conflict is presented, and, you know, it is resolved by the end of the half hour. So it's really just, like, you can enjoy half an hour television, and it's not too, like, oh, I should be watching this because this is important. You know, it's not in that vein of television, though. It is, like, very well written, and you will laugh a lot. And it's just like, you know, when you watch people who know what they're doing and they're good at their job, I feel like that's what Superstore is. Another bonus about Superstore is that it is a very diverse cast, and it's led by America Ferrera.
Traveling Pants.
Exactly. She's very good. And the cast includes, like, white people, black people, disabled people, Asian people, openly gay people. Like, there was a whole episode about when they all formed factions against each other. And so the Asians were one faction, but then the Catholics were another faction.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, actually, like, the most recent episode, the Halloween episode, was about costumes and cultural sensitivity. But I don't want to spoil it, but it wasn't in a that's wrong way. There was a twist to it that was really fun to watch. So I would definitely say, get caught up on Superstore. And it's actually one of those shows that starts pretty strong. I think the audience was behind in terms of, like, realizing that the show is something that you should watch. So it's not, like, say, you know, when you watch early seasons of other shows and then by maybe, like, the second season, you're like, oh, yeah, they hit their stride. No, Superstore, I think, started actually pretty strong out of the gate. The audience just wasn't there.
Gotcha.
And now I think more people, you know, as more people write about it, they're getting a bigger audience, and I'm sure The Good Place helps because they're right before The Good Place. Oh. If you watch TV live, like an old person like I do.
I miss it. Sidebar, I don't think I've watched TV live in like 6 years.
Not even Scandal?
No. Not even Scandal, because I don't have cable. It's all like watching it on like Hulu the next day. So even though I watched it, you know, every week, I'd watch it, you know, Hulu doesn't let you watch it until like 2 a.m. the next day, right?
Do you not have an antenna on your TV?
No, they don't. They put them inside the TVs now.
Yeah. So why don't you use it so you can watch channels over the air?
Oh.
Well, you got to pay for cable.
No.
Oh, it's not on cable. It's like regular network.
Yeah, like network television is over the air.
You still got to pay for network television.
No.
You don't just buy a TV and have network television.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, actually, I don't know. Well, actually, wait, no. Well,
Comcast told me.
Comcast is lying to you.
Also, I think this Roku business also makes it different, because then it's like you open up your TV and it's a bunch of apps. When you have a Roku, okay. It's
well,
not
no,
like
cause
a.
Then there's like, because we have a Roku, and I also have, well, we have, so when Comcast was like, oh, we're raising your internet bill to like $1 million. And I was like, no. And they're like, well, if you bundle with like this cable package and the internet, then you can get like the basicest of cable, which is literally like 5-ish channels, maybe. And then also one premium channel. So I've actually been watching Insecure live. Like,
oh,
I watched
nice.
All the episodes live. I had little parties at my house.
Oh,
it was cute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
thank you for inviting me. But.
No.
Called
that off
out. Called out.
I think I'm crashed in the sheets.
Oh, no. Yeah, I like Insecure.
No, I mean, definitely, we still got the HBO. It's a short season. I can rewatch it. yeah, so my understanding, because we have the, you have to go to Antenna TV, and that's how you can watch the cable channels. But you can't just, like, I don't just turn on my TV, and then all of a sudden, like, CBS Channel
you know,
2 is looking at me.
That's a fair point.
No, okay.
Because you should have, like, Channel 7 and stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot. I feel exposed. I forgot how TV
yeah, like, you should be able to get, like, a converter box or some kind of antenna that you attach to your TV, and that'll pick up over-the-air signals. You might not get every single channel, so that's why, you know, I have cable to get local channels, but only because the signal can be a little dodgy, and so this way I'm guaranteed, like, I know that I'll get these channels, but before I had cable, I just had a converter box like antenna situation, and so I got most of the channels.
What?
But sometimes it would be like if it were raining,
right?
Or like there are some ways, like if you know it bounces off a signal wrong, you don't get the channel. But I got like, and we're in Chicago, and so I was getting all of the PBSs,
right?
Stuff.
No, I forgot about, because that's how I used to watch like UPN back when that was the thing, and WCA. Oh yeah, channel 26. Oh my god!
I mean,
wow.
From the age when I
attention
actually
span.
Had to think about how to get these things for myself. I just streamed everything or lived in a dorm.
Right, right.
Wait, so have you not seen those commercials for like free TV key and stuff? Because that's essentially what that is.
No.
It's just an antenna.
Free TV
that you
no.
you screw it into the back of your TV and it picks up those signals.
What?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not
I mean,
my TV.
I'm
it's
not
Dion's
in,
TV.
Like, I'm not endorsing free TV key or anything, but I'm just saying that's what the concept is that it's a antenna device that allows you to pick up those signals, and they're all digital signals now because they all converted like a few years ago. Sometime during the Obama administration, we were all happy and it was okay to be black. They converted all the digital signals.
Get free digital TV.
Yeah,
be black without having
See,
to work.
Yeah, that's Trump. Yeah. That is Trump trying to deny you.
We just made access to your basic channels resistance. And that's what we do on Girl What You Watchin'.
Take to them streets and get them channels.
Don't let 45 get you down. Get you right. TV.
That's right. You can still watch How to Get Away with Murder. You don't need to be paid.
That's true. I don't got to pay no one to see Viola act her ass off.
Right. That's right.
Live.
You can get yourself an antenna, converter box, whatever. But yes.
Well, I learned something today. But my question that was like actually on topic what we was talking about in the original was how many seasons of Superstore are there? Because I feel like I'm a part of that audience that didn't believe what it was at first.
I want to say four, because I think we're on season three. We're on season three of The Good Place.
Yeah.
And I think The Good Place started a year after. So I think there are four seasons. Like I said, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's really just, I really think it started strong and it just got stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one criticism I have is that they do not have like a central black woman character that has a lot of lines. Like, I think that's changed this season. And there is a black woman who is speaking more. So you see her a lot more. She's more visible. So I'm wondering if like other people are like, you know, this show is perfect, but, you know, and had the same like kind of observation. Yeah. So, but with her, if they're adding her, then it's just like this is a perfect TV show.
Hey.
That's actually a really good segue into, because we're all watching The Good Place, which is also pretty amazing.
Yes.
And this season, one of the recurring characters is this beautiful black woman named Simone. Because that was the one thing, because I was like, I feel like they do a great job in casting. Like, there's like a good amount of representation across the board. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I would like a black woman because I'm a black woman.
Right.
And I like to see me. And then they brought in Simone, who is just like so gorgeous and funny and just like, man, she's great.
It's
been good. I also like where they're taking the show, because I think what's been interesting to watch about The Good Place is like as the story develops, it's like, okay, so what are we gonna watch them do now? And that was like my big question going into this season of like, okay, so we're just going in. Oh well, it's hard to talk about this show like really without spoilers, because
I think we have to just, it's time.
Let's just, okay. Spoilers is happening. So like after everything that happened in season two, I was like, so we're just gonna watch them like live their lives now? Like, how is that gonna work? And like, it's been really interesting that like none of these people would have met other than in The Bad Place.
Yeah,
which is what I think is so interesting, because then it's like, well, now you get back into the mortal world, I guess. And it's like, and it's like, how do you get all of these people who actually can't do the work by themselves in the same place? And I find it very odd and hilarious that it's like, oh, let's get everybody to Australia.
Yeah, I was
like,
of all the places.
Of all the places. Let's do the work to get everyone in Australia.
with that show, because I think one thing about The Good Place, like when I read recaps, is that there are so many Easter eggs and stuff. And I'm just wondering, I wonder like if Australia means something else or if they just decided like it would be funny to have everybody come to Australia.
Well, because I listen to The Good Place podcast where they explain like a lot of the like behind the reasoning of things. And they don't necessarily say why they chose Australia, but they do explain a lot of their Australia jokes. Like in the episode when they all find out that they have died and are like in the second phase of their lives, but now they're all doomed because they know that they died. Every place that they go to is a Finding Nemo reference. So the bar is called Drinking Nemo, and then the bank is called Finding Nemo Bank, and then like the grocery store is called Bagging Nemo.
I didn't even pick up on any of that. I did not see any of that.
Yeah, it's definitely just the writers having a laugh to themselves, like, which it brings a joy. It brings a joy.
That's amazing, because writers should at some point also be writing for themselves too. It's not just for the people. If they don't pick it up, that's okay. You can still have a good kiki to yourself around the writer's room. That's okay. That is just fine.
Mm-hmm. Good for you, Good Place Writers.
Yes, good for you. Having the fun and giving us the fun.
Yeah.
Because I will say that this season has felt a little more disjointed than past seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely felt a little bit more like, do they know where they're at? I don't trust it as much. But all of the episodes individually have still been hilariously well crafted.
Yeah.
No,
the Ballad
no
of Donkey Dong. Oh my gosh.
Doug.
Honestly, if you don't watch any other episode of The Good Place, you have to watch this because it's hilarious. And I don't even want to tell you anything about it because it's just so. Let it happen to you.
Yes.
Yes. It is something that needs to happen. Even if we did describe it right now, you wouldn't. Because you were saying that you're a person that doesn't laugh out loud when watching TV.
No, not by myself.
I am. I have extremely audible reactions, even if I am the only person in the room. I talk to the TV. I talk to myself. It's strange. But this is how I experience the world, and it's fine. But oh my god, I laughed more and like repeated more and like just origin stories are the best. Mm. You can never really go wrong with an origin story unless you're like a superhero franchise that's done one too many. But for the most part,
shade
little bit of shade.
Batman. Agreed. Oh, I was thinking Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. No, we did not need
The recent addition.
No, I love Tom. I love Amazing Spider-Man. You know what?
Moving on.
Anyway, that wasn't not what we were talking about. But yeah, you can't go wrong with an origin story because everybody wants to meet everybody's parents. Mm-hmm. I love to meet y'all parents because like you just learn so much about a person where you're just like, oh, that's where you come from.
Girl, what
you parents watching?
But yes, the Good Place continues to excel and be amazing. Yeah.
But I definitely agree about like I'm not sure where it's going. This is one of the shows where I'm like I hope it has a definitive end.
Sure.
And that they're planning on it because like the first couple seasons I'm like oh yeah I see the plan. I didn't see the plan. The first season, the end of it, I was like, oh,
yeah,
shook it. I like, because I kind of watched it as like a, let's just see what this is about. Like, I was not invested. But then I got to the end of it, so I was like, oh, now you got me. You got me. But now that it's kind of in this, there's just been a lot of really key points of climax or key pieces of information that we've gotten as an audience. Now I'm just like, okay. So now we're going to find out if the show has like a plan to end at a certain point or it will eventually like go off the rails and just kind of go on and on forever because people like to have shows that last 9 years. But I actually don't think that's necessary. Yeah. Very often there's a lot of shows that would have been a lot better if they had ended after like four seasons instead of continuing and like beating us over the head with just terrible things and characters who like don't actually progress because it's like if they don't have character development, then we can't tell the story. That just gets so frustrating and it goes on for 9 years and I'm like, I can't handle it. So I hope that that doesn't happen to The Good Place.
Yeah.
But I feel like this season is going to be like the key one. A key indicator to me of like if this is going to be a show that has like an end or if it'll go on forever.
Cool.
What else are we watching? Or was that the bulk of it?
I had something else that I was watching.
Yes.
So I started watching this show called The Last Kingdom. And it is a BBC show that became, or I don't actually not BBC, it might have been ITV, some British network. And it's become a BBC, or it's become rather a Netflix original. And it is, it's one, let me say up front, if you are waiting for Game of Thrones to come back, this could be like your fix until Game of Thrones because it's in that same vein of swords and fighting and, you know, like kingdoms and thrones and things like that. But it is actually based on British history. So the main character, whose name is Uhtred, is apparently kind of like an amalgamation of two Utrechts that actually existed. It's set in kind of pre, almost like we're still in like triple digit years. Mm. And England is not quite England yet. Mm-hmm. So there are all these different kingdoms. The Danes are there. They're like trying to take England and make it Daneland and stuff. So you have this character. His kingdom is taken away from him. I won't say how. And through you see him kind of grow up, and he grows up in kind of unfortunate circumstances. I don't want to say too much because I want you to see it. But then most of the series takes place with him as an adult. And so he grew up Danish, even though he's like Saxon. He grew up Danish, and now he wants to get his kingdom back. But he is this Saxon-born person who thinks like a Dane, and he's kind of caught between these two worlds because he's loyal to his Danish family that raised him. But in order to get what he thinks is rightfully his, he has to pledge an oath to King Alfred. So it's like...
So he's Jon Snow.
Yes.
Okay.
In many ways. In many ways. So the show just kind of follows him kind of fighting for King Alfred, but also still being like thinking like a Danish person. It's not Game of Thrones as far as like the politics. And, you know, this is not HBO. So this is not like, it's not like really dense. It's basically just like a very nice looking man who fights a lot with a sword. And then like there are some politics and stuff. The one thing that I think it's very different from Game of Thrones in a way that is very good is that the sex is consensual and enthusiastic.
Ooh, enthusiastic.
So, I mean, yes. I'm not going to say that rape isn't, you know, a part of it.
Okay, that was actually seriously my question. Because I already talked about Game of Thrones, so I was like, okay, but like how much violence towards women does the show have?
There is an inciting incident. It is both, like when I was describing people, it's like it's both graphic and modest at the same time.
Okay.
Which is, if you see it, I think you'll understand.
Is it like graphic in intention but modest in portrayal?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Like, I mean, you do see it as like, oh, this is bad and it's supposed to be bad, but they don't show as much as like say a Game of Thrones would. And a Game of Thrones would not only show it, but then like make it like you're just like horrified and traumatized. Mm-hmm. Whereas The Last Kingdom, like, you know, this exciting incident happens and, you know, leads to a different series of events and stuff. And then like, you know, they do allude to rape, but I think you can reference the type of world that you live in without having to show every single incident of it. And actually within the universe of the show, I think like rape is treated as bad, whereas in Game of Thrones it's treated as like, well, this is what happens. You
know? Right. Like,
try not to get raped, but you're probably gonna get raped. Oh, whereas in like The Last Kingdom it's just like, no, this is bad. We're gonna kill everybody now. You know, which is almost kinda like, well, if we're gonna have this, like let's have it be something that is treated as horrible as it is, and maybe there are some consequences. I mean, you don't have to have rape in a story. But I guess, like, if there is a bright side, it is treated as, like, a horrible, horrible crime and something that you should deal with as opposed to accept. So there are two seasons of it that you can watch, and then there's a third one that's starting now. But it's, like, it's one of those shows, it's, like I said, it'll get you through. Like, if you're missing Game of Thrones and you just need a fix of, like, swords and English accents, the Danish... like people on the show, I'm just like, I'm gonna start looking into trips into
the bar. Like, sign me up.
Oh yes. Gosh, like, what is a round trip to like Chicago to Copenhagen?
Let's jump into a callback section. Wow. And we'll talk about things that we're either rewatching or stuff that we have watched that someone else recommended to talk about. Kenya, you said you have been rewatching Blackish. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I was really conflicted in returning to Blackish this season because of the sexual assault and rape allegations that were brought against Anthony Anderson. And I was like,
Oh,
you didn't know about this?
No.
Yeah, no. Did you know about this?
Yeah, you know what? It's so funny. Like, as soon as you went, I was like, in my mind, I'm embarrassed. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Like, it's not, it wasn't, you know, played up as, like, one of the big ones.
Sure, yeah.
Probably partially because of good PR team from the show, but also because there's just so much going on that it was easy for that one to fall through the cracks, especially since it was, like, not... I don't think there was, other than her testimony, there wasn't really anything else backing up what happened. But, like, in, we should, if people, nobody, rarely is anybody going to be like, this happened to me just for the sake of it.
Sure.
So I believe that it probably did happen. And so I was like, well, dang, I don't want to, and I had the same conflict with Fantastic Beasts, but, like,
Fantastic Beasts?
Johnny Depp.
Oh, sorry. Fantastic Beasts is a little bit off my radar because every time something new that Harry Potter comes out, I'm like, are there going to be people of color in it this time?
But see, in the next movie, Jessica Williams is going to be in it. So I got so hype.
Yikes.
But then, like, you know, like Johnny Depp, and then, well, which that stuff happened years ago, but like it's
still trash.
It's still trash. And then like J.K. Rowling came out, be like, oh, I support Johnny Depp.
If she could just shut up.
Yeah, she should just let it like, because then we would have been like Blackish and all forgot. But yeah, so I like was like, well, I don't want to, you know, support. And he's an executive producer on the show and like the lead of the show. But like Tracee Ellis Ross is also, and like all these kids who are doing all these like amazing things and like growing, and like Jennifer Lewis and like Lawrence Fishburne, who I'm sure hasn't at least, you know, we haven't learned anything trash about it. But, you know, like it was time. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be sad because I love Lawrence Fishburne. He's great.
Right.
So, but I decided, you know, because of all of these other amazing and great people who are like doing the show, that I was going to continue to watch it. And this season has been really, really good. They're like really getting into like juniors on a gap year, which is just hilarious. But also like real, because he was like, they were like, no, you're going back to school, and he was like, no, I'm not. And also, if you put me in an environment that I'm not ready to be in, then that's like not good. And I feel like that probably happens to like a lot of Black kids who are like, I have to do this, I have to do this, because I am like propelling the legacy of my family forward, and like maybe I'm the first person, well, which isn't in this case, but like maybe I'm the first person to go to college, blah blah blah. So even if you feel like you don't know why you're going, you still feel like, well, everybody told me I was supposed to go, so I'm gonna go. So that's a really interesting conversation that was happening. And since Zoe's gone, they're focusing more on the twins and like Diane's storylines, and like that's been really fun. And so it's just been a really, it's such a good show. And I'm just so tired of people being trash and tainting the things that I love.
We just need some restorative justice, like transparent restorative justice things to happen. Because it's just, why is it got to be like that?
Yeah.
People are just garbage.
Well, it just makes you wonder, like, I won't say this industry. I was going to say, like, well, that industry is terrible. But every industry has people that have power and people who don't have power.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to be not so much, oh, this is just Hollywood, or, oh, this is just finance, or, oh, this is just, well, it's just we live in a society that it just doesn't value, or rather value certain people more than others.
Yep.
And so if you are a man, or if you are white, or, you know, you can do a lot more and get away with a lot more than if you're a woman, or if you're of color, or, you know, if you're differently abled or LGBTQ. And it's just like those power dynamics are just really shitty, and they have to change. And it's not just one place that this happens. It happens in every place, because I'm sure, you know, we've all been in different jobs and different settings where, you know, something untoward or something that we didn't like happened, and it's just kind of like, well, I didn't expect this to happen at the Jimmy John's, but it did. And, you know?
Like, yeah, no, it can be hard to realize that, like, nowhere is safe, because that's a very overwhelming, daunting thing to think about. Now, I'm sure that not that's a very extreme salad, because there are people who are doing incredible work to create places that are safe or that are thinking differently or address power dynamics in a different way. But like when you're talking about industry wise, like, oh, well, that just stays in Hollywood. Yeah. I can compartmentalize it and just put this in a box over here and be like, but it doesn't happen anywhere else. But like, no, it's like politics and at your 9 to 5 and, you know, schools. And like, it's just there are. It's a societal, it's a systemic problem, and when it runs that deep. And these days, you know, it's the stuff that's coming up and up, and it's just to remind yourself, it's like these things have, it's not like it's new, it's not like it's just happening. We're just being aware. It's just you know, people having like the strength and courage to actually like tell you what's been going on for your eyes the whole time.
And I feel like it gets tricky with like industries like the entertainment industry only because it's like you are coming into an experience for a character that was written, not necessarily, sometimes you're coming in for the person that's performing it, but sometimes you're coming in for the story that's being told and like in supporting it with your money or kind of actively condoning it, and that can get a little messy because you're like, well, I can't just be like, give this $12 of my movie ticket to everybody except for Johnny Depp. So you're just like, do I get to support this? And like, what does it mean when I do support it? And like, am I? It's just because, you know, you've become entangled in these people's lives because their lives are the commodity that they're selling to you.
And also, you know, and a lot of times it's like they already got paid to do their work anyway. You know, you're paying back the producers who put all the money into making the show, so or the movie or whatever, so it's like, well, how do you just like stop people from hiring people who are garbage in the first place? That way the onus isn't always on the consumer to like support things and everything like that.
It's kind of like you said, like even with something like Black-ish, like television, unless you're a Nielsen home, it's like, well, nobody's going to know if I did or did not watch this anyway. Like, there are no consequences to, like, whether or not I choose, like, out of principle not to watch this. Nobody's going to know. And honestly, nobody is really going to care. So it does become like, well, maybe I'll just watch this because I mean, only you know in your heart, and that's important too, I guess. But like living with yourself. But I mean, it's interesting. Like you said, like all this stuff is sort of like it's just there for you to consume, and I don't want to say you don't have a choice sometimes, but sometimes it feels like even the decisions that you make to say to take a stand against something is. It's kind of like I don't eat at Chick-fil-A because I don't necessarily like their stance on LGBTQ, although I have a very complicated like relationship with Chick-fil-A that's very stupid because I think their chicken is delicious. But I don't always eat
their fries are bomb.
Yeah.
And but like I mean I don't eat there anymore either, but like before then it's like where in the scheme of the problems can you address it? And notifying the like sacrifice, like I will never have those good ass waffle fries again because screw the screw Chick-fil-A.
Right. But then when you walk by there and you see like all these people eating there and you're just like, oh, well, me not eating there has done nothing. They are still in business. I think they're opening new locations and stuff.
You real see? Talk.
Like even, what is this? Like I could be eating waffle fries with everybody else.
Like even with Amazon and all the stuff that's come out about, I mean, and like all corporations in general, like, you know, with trash policies, but you're like, I still need these fingerless gloves though. There's nowhere else. Well, I mean, there's like other places, but like, it's just, there's no way to not support evil in the society that we've built.
Well, I mean, and there's also the evil you don't know yet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So at any moment, at any moment, you could finally get access to the information of the thing that you do or go to or purchase or whatever every day is problematic because the system is problematic. Yes. So it's everywhere, girl. Yeah. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
So we should get waffle fries after this.
No, I won't do it.
It makes no difference.
I won't do it. I won't do Polynesian sauce. No.
Sauce is good, but it's just Thousand Island. You can get that at McDonald's,
right?
Which is probably also because you know they're monopolizing off of like a certain community. It's just all bad,
and like you know the fact that there are a bunch of McDonald's and food deserts, so you can't find a grocery store for 5 miles, but you can find a McDonald's, and then you know no one understands the connection between obesity and poverty, and it's just so.
Oh my God.
But then at the same time, it's like you know Calvin has a job at McDonald's and.
Right.
His acceptance letter comes and like on the commercial where they all read it and it's just like, hey, Calvin's going to college. Yeah. And he probably has a scholarship from McDonald's because they give to like there are so many like black franchisee owners and you're just like I don't know where
do you start?
Should I be upset or
just
I
go
be
live
like,
in a hole? Everyone just go find their separate individual hole in the forest. And just stay there until the revolution comes.
Well, you can't stay in a hole until the revolution comes because then it won't ever come. Or it'll come and it'll pass you by. So I feel like, I think, you know, in the meantime, it's just in the myriad of problems and causes that there is to like get behind. It's just find places where you draw the line and like stick to it and like understand that. These systems and problems are really complicated and nuanced, and so our reaction to them also is going to be complicated and nuanced, and that's okay. Like, I think what's hard is like people want things to be super black and white, but it's like it can't be that way. So
I think that, like, if I can maybe put a button on that, I think that kind of goes to empathy to other people, because I feel like sometimes there's nothing more than somebody wants to tell you is that your fave is problematic. And it's just kind of like, and it's like, I know my fave is problematic. Like, I accept that. But I do think that, like, you know, we can educate each other about, like, hey, you may want to rethink it without being like, girl, did you hear? And it's just like, okay, like, let me learn to unlove this person or this thing. I'm going to need some time. It's not going to happen immediately because maybe I've seen all these movies in this series or I've been waiting for the end. You know, like, I think, like, you know, what you're saying about understanding that this is all very complicated and Byzantine, and things are connected, and some it's harder to let go of some things than others for whatever reason. Like, I know people who still shop at Walmart and stuff, but it's just like Walmart is the cheapest thing around. And if you don't have a lot of money, but you need things, then you go to Walmart and stuff. So it's just like kind of being like empathetic to knowing that not everybody can like take the same stance at the same time as you. Like, they might come later.
Yes.
You know, so just like understand that.
Saying no to things is a privilege.
Yes.
And we don't often think about that.
So, you know.
This is a great place to pause for our next segment.
Well, or were we gonna, because you.
Do we want to talk about My Hero Academia very quickly?
Do we want to wait for Dionne?
Has she been watching it too?
Yeah, she's been watching it. I don't know. Are you caught up? Because I know she's not caught up.
Oh, no. I mean.
Oh, you're just in the beginning.
I'm in season two. How many seasons are there now?
There's three.
Yeah, no. I'm not caught up. Oh, okay. There's
so
much.
What part of season two are you at?
Just a little
wetter, and then we can talk about it more a little bit.
A preview.
It's a lot to unpack.
It's a lot. And you can watch it all on Hulu.
Yes.
Right now, the Japanese subtitle or the English dub version. You can watch both on Hulu, which I think is a very important thing to know. I watch the sub.
I started with with anime, I like to start with the dub because I'm like, okay, I can like, you know, hear how these people like in a language that like I know and like am fluent in or whatever. But then like, I'll know that I truly love a show when I get to the point where I only have the sub and I still want to continue. And then, like, you get to hear, like, how, like, some things that may have been lost in translation.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's just, like, it gives you a greater appreciation, or gives me at least a greater appreciation for it, because I know what this was what this is, like, if you're consuming it, like, in the way that it was meant to be consumed, because of the little like watered down version that I was able to wet my whistle with at first. So
I watch the sub because I typically like the voice acting better. And when I look at the characters and I hear their voices, usually when it's in the like kind of what you're saying, like the language intended, it like just matches better for me a lot of the time. What just happened? We just finished the final exams where it was two students against a teacher. Like we just ended that arc. It's so good. But we'll get into it when Dion has again returned.
Yeah. I guess I would just love to know your like initial like.
I love it's like watching Dragon Ball when I was a kid, you know, and it just that same feeling of like, wow, I'm so invested in all these characters and they're really cool. They all have different like powers and like I just love, you know, everyone loves a good tournament.
Yes.
arc. Everyone loves a good tournament arc. And I like kind of like different callbacks. Oh my gosh, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Like Todoroki. Todoroki. Yes. Mm-hmm. Zuko from Airbender.
Yes, completely. But also, did you like Sasuke from Naruto vibes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also Sasuke. Yes. Yes. Anime. We're in the world of anime.
I love it.
Weeaboos about. Not really. We don't have to be weeaboo status, but the anime. It gives you the feels.
More black people should watch anime because, like.
A lot of black people do watch anime.
A lot of black people watch anime.
Especially when it comes to, like, this kind of anime, like Dragon Ball Z. It's very much like
for sure.
that is also, I mean, it is, you know, also, but it's also like very much black Americans have like really like fallen. Like we all know Piccolo's black, like he's been claimed by the culture. Piccolo is the black character in the show, taking care of all those damn kids for Goku who ain't shit dad. Piccolo is the one.
Yeah, I had a fish named Vegeta. Rest in peace, Vegeta. I don't know why you died or why you had to go, but I'll see you at the crossroads.
That's so amazing.
Favorite piece of information I've gained today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I would consider dipping into My Hero Academia because there's a character who is Vegeta on 1,000 named Bakugo.
Oh, my God.
He is so Vegeta. He's so angry and so prideful all the time. I feel like every time I listen to his voice, I'm like, man, I hope the voice actor has got some good voice and diction code because it's just like, Victoria, yes. I hate you.
Just like
how dare you be better than me?
There's so like, as you progress in the season, there's more tender moments with him. Aww. Where he like has a little bit of emotional, and he forms like some more healthy friendships with some of the other people in the class.
He forms friendships.
And so it's like really nice to be like, oh, so this is what your voice sounds like when you're not full of angst.
Yes.
And, like, anger.
His
and he has like very little to be angry about. Like but when you meet his,
Don't get too far. I'm not caught up. But like, just an example. When they're all coming up with superhero names, his superhero name suggestion was Lord Explosion Murder.
Wow, I love that so much.
So he's a great character. So I would, you know, okay. I would you know, just dip your toe in. If you had a fish named Vegeta. Dip your toe into My Hero Academia.
And actually, I will say my little spoiler because it's kind of on brand with what we've been talking about. Mm. You meet some of the parents.
You do.
You see where they
and
come
you get
from.
It. You get it.
Nice.
Or Dragon Ball Super.
Okay. Yeah, I've been thinking like because Dragon Ball Z was so long ago for me, and I was like a casual fan at best because my brother would watch it.
Yeah.
And I do just remember I just liked Vegeta. So like when I got a fish. Like, I was just like, I'm going to name my fish Vegeta because I just like that name. But then Vegeta died.
Aww.
I just came home, Vegeta was dead. And actually, it happens every day.
If you watch Dragon Ball Super, you will be really, really satisfied as a Vegeta fan because his character arc is really beautiful. Like, he's got, like, a family, and then there's this, like, whole other because they jump in like different timelines, so there's also this other, like, young man that he, like, kind of, like, takes care of. Now, he's still very, you know, very Vegeta about things.
Sure.
But like, it's like, oh my God, you grew up Well, just a little bit. You're still prideful as all hell, but like I would.
Okay.
I would really recommend for Vegeta fans, okay. Dragon Ball Super.
Is it on Hulu?
You can watch it on Crunchyroll, which that I do think you have to get. It's another one of those apps. So like okay. Crunchyroll is the anime app, so it's got a ton of anime shows on it. Let me do some investigating, okay. And I'll report back for those who are listening if there's a place other than Crunchyroll that you can watch it. But you do have to, I think Crunchyroll does have like a monthly subscription, but I'm sure they have like a free trial.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Yeah. So let's jump into the next section.
So we're rolling out a new segment called Exposed. Because, you know, there's been, I feel like everyone has had this moment in their life where they're like just going through their life, do-do-do, la-la-la, and then they realize that there's a segment of culture that they should have known, but that they don't. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, whoa. In one case, it's like, black people are not a monolith. But in another case, it's like, girl, what? So, rolling it out today with my little piece of black shame. So I was at work, and I don't even remember the context of this conversation. It's just a random conversation. And one of my coworkers starts coming like, something like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, what is that? And she's like, what did she got? Escapades? Yeah, she was like, escapades. And I was like, ooh. What? She's like, Janet Jackson? Oh. And I was like, huh? And she was like, what? And I was like, I know the hits. I know the hits. I know Rhythm Nation. You know?
For the record, Escapade was a hit.
And I was like, listen, this is, and also my coworker was white, which also added on to my little piece of shame.
Oh, no.
So, I was just like, because I know Janet Jackson. I like Janet Jackson, but I was never like a huge fan. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, yeah, Janet Jackson, an icon of our people.
Yeah.
Yes, respect. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
Right. You just know the blind respect. Right,
yeah. Yes, like, the blind respect.
I know this person, yeah. Now, yes. Regardless of how much I know the music. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So I was just like, oh, dang, I'm feeling a little.
I will say, in your defense, well, first of all, happy belated Janet Jackson Appreciation Day, everybody. Like,
Yes.
Or I guess, is every Super Bowl Janet Jackson Appreciation Day now, or was it just
as it should be. Yeah.
All right.
Give us something to look forward to with the Super Bowl.
Right. Mm. But I will say, yeah, we could do a whole show about, like, the Super Bowl, Maroon 5, even though you're literally in Atlanta.
Good.
It's just like, you could
throw a rock. And everyone's saying no to the Super Bowl now for very good reasons. Yeah. So
good for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But back to your Exposed, I will say, like, Escapade was a song that came out when I was a girl. So I think you're okay not knowing.
I can that the generational gap.
Yeah, because I think that was, like, I think for a certain group of people, there's, like, you know, people who watch Janet Jackson when she, I remember Janet Jackson on Fame and stuff. Yes, Janet Jackson was on Fame. So it's just,
I remember
kinda,
on Good Times.
Yeah, she was on Good Times. She was on Fame. And then, like, you know, she became like Janet Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were different phases of Janet Jackson, because it was like, she was just singing about, like, you know, love you, whatever. But then she starts singing about, like, doing it. So I feel like there are so many different, like, phases of Janet Jackson's career that not knowing Escapade is not necessarily the worst thing, because I feel like that might not be your Janet Jackson.
No.
If that makes any sense.
It's not. That makes perfect. Yeah, because I was, like, about to be like, it's a generational thing. But then I was like, but I still grew up in a black household. We listened to KBL 102.9.
Oh, my God, yes, me too.
Like, I should have the knowledge.
That's what well, just think about how, like, you know, how the youth even experience, like, Missy Elliott. And it's like, oh, my God, this brand new artist. It was like, no. Or even, like, Beyonce. Like, people who, like, young folk today will know Beyonce is probably just Beyonce, but they will probably not know all that much about like her time with like Destiny's Child,
yeah,
or like anything off of her self-titled. Like, are they gonna know Ring the Alarm?
Oh my god,
in classic. You know,
yeah,
few years, like, no, they're not gonna know. But that's a classic, right? But to us, it's classic. That's why that's why, you know, you got looked at crazy by not knowing Escapades. Just think about Ring the Alarm. No,
it's just it's very, but it's a good thing that artists evolve, because some artists don't evolve, and then you're just like,
mm-hmm.
But like, there's so many phases. Okay, this is good. I mean, like, you know, I wasn't in all of my fifis about it, but
exposed.
I definitely was just like, damn.
I think that's totally fair, because it's just kind of like you're saying, it's basically like some people are going to only know Madonna as that. Like lady that kissed Drake, as opposed
oh my god,
to like,
yeah,
like Ray of Light, and like even
that was not a good look.
Like La Isa Bonita, and like they're gonna be people like mm-hmm. who only like, oh, that's that weird lady that like stuck her tongue down Drake's throat.
Oh god,
I that was one
that
of the most uncomfortable
happened.
Things
what?
I've ever seen. It was it just looked so. It didn't look like anyone was having a good time.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. Like, I hope everybody's okay.
Yeah.
This has been the nicest exposed that I think I should have hoped for. Should we rename this segment Redemption?
I think let's reserve.
Let's reserve
that if there is redemption, because I'm sure there are plenty of things that's going to be like, this shit isn't excusable. You need to get right.
Right.
Get Jesus. But I think, like, with somebody and, like, with any artist that has, like, a body of work like Janet Jackson, there are going to be people who come in at different points
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And she has changed so much,
like,
over the course of her career,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's just like, okay, if you don't know Escapade, I think that is okay. Although I can see the Escapade video in my mind. Because I remember the dance moves and mm-hmm. stuff and, like, what she was wearing and everything. But that was when, like, Janet Jackson – this was all, like, pre-Super Bowl Janet Jackson and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So you get an exposed pass.
Yes.
Yay. Exposed pass.
Actually, mm-hmm. I heard in that Bobby Brown story mm-hmm. that Janet Jackson was in there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
He was really adamant about letting the world know. Mm-hmm. Or that at least was the take of it on the read.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, we can maybe say that for another time. Because I haven't seen the Bobby Brown story. So.
Me either.
Yeah.
I haven't. I have no desire to see it. But anyway.
You do know my prerogative, though, right?
Yeah, I know who Bobby Brown is. I just had no desire to learn more about him.
Right. But that is a great segment into our next segment. Let's jump in. What are we looking forward to watching? Real quick, is there anything on the docket that we're ripe and ready for?
Oh, I can. Another British show, Bodyguard. It was big in the UK. It's on Netflix now. I've watched the first three episodes. Actually, it kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier, because it does star King of the North, Richard Madden from Game of Thrones, speaking in a Scottish accent, which is nice. So I'm going to watch the next three episodes. Yeah, seriously. No, that is the correct reaction. So I'm looking forward to wrapping that up, because it definitely, like, it's a spy drama, but it definitely took, like, a turn that I was not expecting. So I'm excited to see how this season ends. And there's another season, like, you know, starting in the UK. But we only have season one here. So I'm looking forward to finishing that up.
Oh.
Does it have anything to do with The Bodyguard featuring Whitney Houston?
My exact
Kevin
question.
I love that you're like determined to showcase your like mid-90s 2000s like knowledge.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. You
actually
just made a musical of it. So if the Brits were going to take it on, now is the time.
Yeah,
it's on our minds.
I've actually never seen The Bodyguard. But I mean, I know the music because most of Whitney's iconic songs came from the soundtrack. But I never actually watched the movie. So
I haven't either, so
I heard
exposed again.
Just the soundtrack. It's like, you know, it's like a Purple Rain situation where the movie is like, you know, cool, but the soundtrack is
You can't talk about Purple
Contention.
Rain now.
Ooh, okay, I love you, Prince.
rest in power. Okay. I'm looking forward to.
Right, you better roll away from that one. Segue right into something else.
I am looking forward to watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It apparently came back, and I didn't even know. But I saw my roommate was watching it when I came home, and I was like, "Wait, there's new episodes? She's in jail." I saw this little segment where they do like a parody of Cell Block Tango, and she's like, "Yeah, we're gonna have like sexy Cell Block Tango time, woo!" And then she's like, "Tell me your story, tell me your story." And then like all the other women in prison are just like, "So my baby needed diapers." And so I stole some diapers, and now I'm facing 4 years in prison because I am a black woman and the criminal justice system is crap. And she's like, that was just kind of depressing. Somebody else, tell me a story. And that's just kind of the trend in how it goes.
I guess. Nice.
That's so, like, that show's really, really like, it starts off under the guise of it's a little bit too tongue-in-cheek, so you can't realize, like, do they really believe in this crazy ex-girlfriend trope? Or, like, what are they doing? Yeah. But she, I feel like, what's her name? Rebecca Bloom? Sure. Yes. Why not? she does a really good job of, like, highlighting issues, social issues in a really funny way and, like, kind of spanning the complexities of them. Like, even though like that cast is also pretty diverse, you know, like, go her. And even though, you know, it is like centered around a white woman struggle with white woman things, she like at the end of this episode, she goes, "I'm privileged." And like has this whole epiphany. And so it's like really cool to see white people talking about how their whiteness affects other people. So yeah, it's a great show. It's you gotta get through some of the like relationshipy stuff, but then it gets to be like really just like enlightening.
That's what I was curious about, because like I had watched it not in time with everything, but I'd watched some of it because it was on Netflix, where you can still watch it now. And I had watched it, I was like, okay, all right, this is funny. Ooh, musical shows. Okay, right. I watched Gallivant. Yes. And then I just kind of got sick of some of the relationship stuff. I was like, I don't know. So I was like, is it still good? What's happening? Because I had just fallen off. But hearing that is great. Because there should be, okay, bold statement, there should be more content about like white people realizing how their whiteness affects others.
Yes.
Am I necessarily interested in watching that content? No, but it should exist that white people can watch it and understand. Yeah. So, yes, I'm all for that.
No, to change the world.
Yeah.
That needs to happen.
Because
white people need to talk about white people.
And they have to realize that, like, you know, we all have to do work. You can't just be like, well, I'm not like this. The job is done. It's like, no, you actually have to do a lot of unlearning, a lot of examining of, like, just how you walk through life. Like, actually everything needs to be like taken under scrutiny, and people don't actually realize that that's the kind of work that needs to be done, because the point of privilege is that you don't see it. So if you're not looking for it, you're going to continue to not see it. So shout out. That's great.
Shout out to Crazy. Like, they do a lot, like,
cool.
And even like in like the kind of shallowest ways, like they have like the romantic lead is like an Asian man, and that's pretty dope. That you don't
he's fine
like Josh Chan, like, he's dumb as a brick, but he's
fine. I think that is gonna about wrap it up for us for right now. So thank you so much, y'all.
Well, we're like in stereo there. Anyway, so this was The Sipping Hour presents Girl What You Watchin', which had
BB,
Aisha,
Kenya.
Oh, okay. And on that on that musical
note,
non Janet Jackson inspired note, we will say goodbye. Have a great day. Watch something fun. Okay. Bye. Well, we eat wang, then throw them bones.